But isn't that beautiful? This morning we're reading a parable about service, and it's Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 and following. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" Jesus replied. "How does it read to you?" And the lawyer answered, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus said, "You've answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" And in reply, Jesus said this: "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going by the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place, saw him pass by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave it to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have had.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hand of robbers?" And the expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." And Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." May the Lord bless his word to hearts and minds today. Well, this morning we continue the series on the parables of Jesus. And I know this is a parable that's familiar in some ways, but I invite you to listen with an open heart and a fresh mind. First, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this farm boy who accidentally overturned his wagon load of corn. The farmer is living nearby, heard the noise, and he said, "Hey, Willis," he yelled, "forget your troubles. Come on inside and have some dinner, and then we'll help turn the wagon back over." "That's mighty nice of you," Willis answered, "but I don't think my pa would like that." "Ah, come on," the farmer said, insisted. "Come on in and have something to eat." And finally the boy agreed, but he said, I don't think my pa would like that. And so after a big dinner, Willis is there. And he thanked his host. And he says, "You know, I feel a lot better now, but I still think my pa's going to be really upset." "Don't be foolish," the neighbor said. "Where is your pa anyway?" The son replied, "Under the wagon load of corn." Anyway. You know, sometimes we do an act of kindness, we worry about being vulnerable, being taken, or making a mistake, and this story kind of reminds us that some of the simplest things are the most important. I tried to think of how we might recast it for today in our setting, and so I came up with this. And so I know we have some Purdue and IU, and of course we're delighted to have some of our IU students back, so we put it in that context. So listen to this rendition of this. A certain Purdue student was going down from the holy city of West Lafayette, or not-so-holy city of West Lafayette, to the annual football pilgrimage at the not-so-holy city of Bloomington in his broken-down 1985 Oldsmobile, full of boiler fan regatta with Purdue flags, and all of a sudden, he got a flat tire. Now, being a poor student, he didn't have a spare tire. And unfortunately, his cell phone battery was dead as well. And so, lo, he sat beside the side of the road, contemplating his dilemma. All of a sudden, a bunch of Hoosier thugs, seeing his plight, stopped and ridiculed him, tore up all his boiler flags from his car, tied him up with bungee cords, and left him with an IU flag duct taped to his head. Now, a philosophy student, a Purdue student, happened to be going down the same road, pondering the great significance of the universe when he saw the Purdue student there, but he passed by on the other side of the road. So too, a religious studies major from Purdue also saw him, and as he passed by, he threw out a Bible tract out his window and said a small prayer. But along came a little old bag lady with a grocery cart she was pushing, and the student looked in his mirror and thought all was certainly lost, but surprisingly enough, the little old bag lady pulled up with her grocery cart and asked if she could help him. He sort of smiled and chuckled to himself, but then he was delighted when she took the IU flag duct taped to his head off. Then she said, well, maybe she could help him take the tire off his car and push it to the gas station in her grocery cart. Being an engineering student and He wasn't able to take the tire off without the instruction manual, so she was able to help him take the tire off, put it in her little grocery cart. They push it to a gas station, and she gave some of her things she had to eat. They loaded the tire back up and took it back to his car. And as she put it on, she smiled and said, "Have a good day," and said if you ever needed anything to stop by the shelter where she was. Which of these do you think was a neighbor to the student? Well, maybe that brings it a little closer home. I hope so. This morning, when we think about this story of Jesus and the Good Samaritan, it's important to sort of remember the context. And in that context, an attorney comes to Jesus. Now, expert in law, same thing as attorney today. And it was as if he was trying to ask Jesus a trick question. And so he asked Jesus, you know, what was the most important command? Jesus turns that question around and asks the attorney two questions. He said, what does it read in the law? And how does it read to you? And so the attorney said, well, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, maybe he'd been listening to Jesus, and he knew that was the right answer. But Jesus sort of turned it around again, and he said, do this, and you will live. You've answered it correctly. Do this, and you will live. Now, there's an edge to that, which is, it's great to know the right answer, but do this, and you will live. And so the attorney probably felt that edge, and so trying to justify himself, he said, he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? Now, when you look at that, you realize what's at stake, because if we can sort of draw limits around who a neighbor is, then, you know, we don't have to extend our compassion too far. Maybe it's just the people in my community or my neighborhood. Maybe it's just the people in my denomination or my country, but maybe we don't want to extend who is a neighbor too far. And it's in response to that that Jesus tells him this story. And so if you Google or you sort of know anything about the ancient Near East, that road is still there today. And even today, it is a desolate road from Jericho to Jerusalem there, and it goes along sort of through the desert. It's got high places through the mountains, and it's all sand and desert. And in that day, and perhaps even today, people would sometimes lie in wait, and then when someone would come by and wasn't armed or something, they would fall upon them and rob them. And so this individual is traveling along the road, and Jesus says that these robbers beat him, surprise him, beat him, and rob him, and leave him half dead lying along the road. And then the people that we think would help him, his first person by is a priest, a religious leader, but he goes by the other side of the road. And then there's a Levite. Now, a Levite was a religious leader, also sometimes a prominent business person, but certainly an upstanding person in the community. Also maybe gets close enough to look at that, but goes by the other side. And then another person's coming, but they would know that Samaritans were enemies of Jews. And not only was there war between them, but they're also a different religious sect, a lot of enmity there. And so a lot of Jews would think the only good Samaritan was a dead Samaritan. That's how bad it was at that time. And so this Samaritan comes, and people sort of had to take a breath, but the Samaritan goes to the man. He helps him up. He puts oil on his wounds, which is a way of helping that, and the wine to disinfect it. And then he puts him on his own donkey. So he had to walk that great distance. And then took him to the closest inn. Now, the closest inn on that road, even today, would be a long, long ways. And so in the hot Near Eastern sun, he puts him on his own donkey and takes him to the inn. And there he cares for him, makes sure he has something to eat. And then the next morning, he gives the innkeeper some money and says, take care of him. And then when I return, if there's any extra expenses, I will take care of him. And then he says, who was a neighbor to the man? And the attorney said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. You know, the funny thing about all that, I think, is that when you look at who is really a neighbor, sometimes the qualities that we think of are the people who would most likely help the person. People with the resources, people maybe with the training or religious beliefs, were the people who did not help them, but the people least likely, the person least likely was the person who reached out and showed compassion and went above and beyond to help the person out. And so when I think about that, I think there's like maybe three qualities that are helpful in thinking about. And the thing about these three qualities are the qualities that aren't necessarily the strongest or the best, the people who are most open. And so those three qualities are humility, vulnerability, and availability when we think about this morning. And the first one, when you think about humility, I mean, some of us get so caught up in global causes that are so important, of course, but we get so caught up in our busy agenda and how important we are that we don't have time for the small needs of our neighbors right next to us. And Jesus, in this story, sort of turns that upside down. Because it's the priest that probably should have stopped for sure, and the Levite who had good resources and was a religious person, both those stopped by. But the person least likely was the one who stopped by that maybe had that humility. And there's something about humility that reminds us that there's big causes in our world, but even the small causes and even the lowest of the low need help too. There's a true story that I like. And Albert Schweitzer was one of the great thinkers of the 20th century. He had advanced degrees from Oxford in medicine, in philosophy, and in theology and music. And people thought this guy is going to be an incredible star. He had all kinds of opportunities to teach and do all kinds of things. But instead, he chose to found a clinic in a very remote part of Africa, serving people who never had any medical attention whatsoever. But even from there, he wrote some famous books that were famous sort of in more intellectual circles. Norman Cousins, who was also a great person, a great journalist, decided that he was going to seek out Albert Schweitzer one day and have him speak out against war and the proliferation of nuclear weapons. So he had to go to the remote part of Africa to find him. And then as he waited for him, he had to wait a long time because Albert Schweitzer was so busy taking care of patients. So finally, he got his interview, was talking to him about war and peace and all these big issues. And then a nurse came up, and the nurse interrupted him and said, "You know, Dr. Schweitzer, there's a woman with a pregnancy, she's having a great deal of trouble." And Albert Schweitzer turned to the great journalist Norman Cousins, and he said this. He said, "It's good to be reminded in a war struggling with war and peace that individuals have problems too." I think that's true for all of us. Not to diminish the great issues of our time, but it's always important to remember that individuals have problems too. And you and I might not be able to solve all the issues of war and peace of our world, but we can make a significant impact to our neighbors so often in need. And of course, this is a great time as we share with the food pantry, and I know there's also a toy drive for kids in need and families in need. And in this grade, we'll have opportunity to help out folks in the Philippines as well, but there's all kinds of things that we can do. And so there's humility. Think of Jesus, and Jesus was doing a lot of big things, like, you know, saving all humanity and heading to the cross and teaching. But Jesus always had time for individuals. He had time for a leper. He had time for a woman with an issue of blood. He had time even for children who wanted him to bless them. And so we all need humility. Next thing is vulnerability, and I think in our culture, this is probably the most difficult thing for all of us, because we live in a culture that talks about self-sufficiency and sort of having thick skin and being able to not be taken advantage of, and so for us to be vulnerable is so difficult. There's a little story about Philip Brooks, who wrote O Little Town of Bethlehem, and it was April Fool's Day, and he was walking down Boylston Street in Boston. And as he was walking down the street, he saw this little boy trying to ring the doorbell buzzer. And so he was struggling. So Philip Brooks walked up the steps and he rang the doorbell for the little boy and said, "Let me help you out, my little man." And then he was so surprised when he turned around, the little boy took off and said, "Now run like the devil." So sometimes, you know, when things aren't as harmless as doorbell tag or what have you, and all of us can be taken advantage if we're vulnerable. But, you know, if we're not vulnerable, we'll never open up enough to open our heart and arms to those in need. And so there's different ways of doing that. You think about, sometimes we want to just keep our distance like the priest, or maybe we want to be curious but uninvolved like the Levite. But for all of us, we really need to be close enough to care, to open our hearts and minds, to reach out to someone in need. And sure, there's might be a moment where we're taken advantage of, but you know, in the scales of eternity, I think God will overlook that, because in order to reach out to need, sometimes we just have to be vulnerable. My mom didn't know that I was speaking about this past week, but you know, as I was talking to her on the phone, she relayed this story. She says, "Well, you know, I was at Walmart today, and as I came out the door, there was a young couple there with a baby, and they asked for some money because they had car troubles. Apparently, they were driving from Florida to Texas." And she said, "Well, I didn't know what to do, but you know, maybe they should have planned better from going to Florida to Texas, and they had some kind of car trouble. The car was in the shop." She said, "Well, I just saw the baby, and then they looked in need, and so I got in my pocket, and I gave them all that I had in my pocket there. And I said, 'Have you eaten anything? Does the baby need any food?' And they said, 'Well, the baby's all right, but you know, we haven't had anything to eat.' And so she went down to KFC and got them some Kentucky Fried Dinners and took them back, and she had an extra one, and she gave it to someone in need that was by there. And she said, maybe they were just taking advantage of people. I said, you know, Mom, you know, I think you did the right thing. Because and all of us can be taken advantage of sometimes. But when you see a need like that, you don't know until the other side of eternity that you might have made all the difference in the world to them. And if you did lose a little bit of money or maybe a little bit of pride down the road, really, in the scales of eternity, what really matters the most? The fact is you probably made a big difference in their lives. So for all of us, you know, we need to be humble, we need to be vulnerable, and then I just think the simplest thing is to be available. I think of today, sometimes we think it's all about our qualities and our education and where we come from in society, but we think about the priest who probably had a lot of education, a lot of training. We think about the Levite, probably a prominent business person. We don't know much about the Samaritan. Typically, the Samaritans were much poorer than most of the Jews. And we know that they were opposite religions in many ways, certainly from a different race, but that Samaritan made himself available. And then he not only made himself available, he sort of took the moment, he got close enough to care, and he spent whatever it took to make a difference in that individual. He took his own sort of oil, the olive oil at the time was used to help with sunburn, also sort of soothe things. The wine could be used to disinfect a wound. They didn't have the kind of medicine we do today, but all that was his own resources. And then instead of riding the donkey himself, he put the person on the donkey and took him in the hot Near Eastern sun to that inn, and there cared for him some more, and then just said, if there's anything else, let me take care of him. Are we available when God needs something? If you go on in the first letter of John from the passage that we read this morning, he has this wonderful little snippet that I love in chapter 3, verse 16 and following, and John writes this. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our sisters and brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother or sister in need and has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and truth. What a simple, profound truth. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and truth. You know, none of us can cure all the problems of the world, but all of us can do something. All of us can sometimes do some small thing that can make such a difference in a person's life. One of the professors in seminary, I think, is probably all these great lectures you've heard, but one of the most profound things I ever heard, one of the most lasting things I ever heard, was by a priest by the name of Rowan Greer. And he said this, and of course he was a scholar of these early church fathers, but he made a statement one day that really stuck with me. He said this, the interruptions are the ministry. And you think about that. The interruptions or the ministry. You know, we do lots of great programming and it's great to have service and all kinds of things, but sometimes the most profound ministry that we can do, doesn't matter whether you're a pastor or a layperson, whatever you do, the interruptions, those little interruptions in life that are unexpected are the moments that we probably can make the biggest impact in someone else's life. And we're all busy, but you know, we always have time for the things that are most important. And those interruptions, we have an opportunity to do something great in someone's life to make a lasting difference forever. I heard an interview one time of Richard Curtis, who's the film director. He did Four Weddings and a Funeral, and he did Notting Hill and The Girl in the Cafe. He's a great British director. And he said this, he's struggling with religion. He said, I don't have all that sorted out. He said, but I made a trip when I was younger, in his early 20s, to Africa, a remote part of Africa. And he said, I just saw the need there. I saw all these hundreds of orphan children with AIDS, whose parents have died of AIDS, and they had AIDS. And I saw what a scourge malaria was, and the poverty of people dying from famine. He goes, I made a vow that I would do what I do, which is make comedy films and make all the money that I could, and then give away all that I could give away. And he's the person that's on, I don't know if you've seen American Idol Gives Back. Yeah, he does this thing called Comic Relief. It's one day a year in the United Kingdom where they raised $70 million, and then I think American Idol raised $40 million, but he had the American Idol contestants go over there and visit kids that were suffering from AIDS or didn't have enough food to eat in Africa. And he's dedicated his life to doing this. And he says this, I don't really have it all sorted out, but I read the Sermon on the Mount. And I knew I had to make a difference. And so I do what I do, which is to make comedy films And then I give what I can give to make a difference where I can make a difference. Now, you and I might not be a film producer, but, you know, if it's comedy filmed, nothing could be probably further away than helping needs in Africa. But we do what we can do, and then we touch those we can touch. I think today, as we think about all the needs, both near and far in our world, in closing, we can't do everything, but all of us can do something. Woodrow Wilson said this. He said, "No one stands taller in the climb to success than when he bends over to help someone else." Yeah, no one stands taller in the climb to success than when he bends over to help someone else. It's a beautiful truth. Humility, vulnerability, availability. None of us can do all of it, but all of us can do something. And I challenge all of us to look at what Jesus said, and rather to draw limits around who a neighbor is and push everyone else aside, to open our hearts and arms and make a difference wherever we can through God's help to show God's love to someone in need. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we're so thankful for the simple and profound truths that are taught in your word and these parables of Jesus. Help us to listen not only with our head, but also with our hearts. Help us today and each day to take a moment in interruptions and help someone in need, to bring blessing and love, and that may everything we do and say reflect your love to someone in need. We pray this through your power and to your glory. Amen.